All right, guys, welcome to Game Chat. This week we are talking about episode 3 of Telltale's The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, which is technically season 3 of their Walking Dead series. We have like a couple more episodes to go, so we're kind of halfway through, which is exciting. We'll start off with intros, as we usually do. And this one's more interesting. Hopefully you guys saw it, but I'd like you to say your name. As well as if you were in a settlement like Richmond in episode 3 that we are introduced to. You're in a post-apocalyptic settlement like this. What area would you want to be working in? Like, would you want to be guard duty? Would you want to just be security? Would you want to be doing, like, taking care of the canned food and the stock stuff? There's all kinds, working in the infirmary, whatever you want to do. So we'll start at the top.
This is Franco, and of course the smart one would be supplies and stock, because clippage.
I was thinking that too, but I would be severely worried that like something would happen and everyone would start coming to me. Like, you would have to have like a firm grip. Like a firm stance, because you would have people coming up to you like, I really need 20 cans of green beans. And you're like, you can only have one.
Well, in that case, 20 cans of green beans, I'm there like, here, God bless you. <Have
fun>. Okay.
How about Frank, why did we run out of food?
Well, don't worry, we ran out of green beans. Nobody cares.
Jen's 20 cans of green beans, it's fine.
Who cares? Now, the cans of sliced potatoes, on the other hand.
The twist is, though, it's baby food green beans.
Oh, but he doesn't tell them. Like, they just take
the- Yeah.
So it's like, sure, you can have this. We don't have any babies around, so
He puts them in a bag. They're like, okay, cool. And then
they come back. It's like, what is this? Hey, I mean, it's expiration creamy. Dates. They mean a thing. You know?
Yeah. All right, next.
I'm Jonathan. And, well, first off, if we were to have the apocalypse, mm-hmm. I don't think I'd make it to the post-apocalypse. But
yourself, Jonathan. Believe in yourself.
I don't know. I'd be like, Lord, take me. But if I were in a post-apocalyptic village or community, I think probably guard duty, mm-hmm. or maybe like do something to try to help out in like the medical, okay. whatever the medical facility is.
Okay.
You know,
that's
cool. Yeah. Next.
I'm Kevin, and I really don't know. I know I wouldn't want to be something that would have to go and actually fight zombies. Mm-hmm. So I guess something to do with, like, I guess organization of something.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Chris, and I would probably make up my own position, and it would be like dog wrangling or something. but in all seriousness, I think it would probably be in like the supplies or scavenging type of position there.
Nice. You know, mine is Stephanie. Steph, by the way. I have a kind of a toss up of like what, like, I really think I'd honestly want to probably, I think it would drive me crazy if I was just inside the wall or inside the gates all day and not knowing what was going on outside. So I honestly would probably want to be part of a group that goes out. But then also a really fun position would be like the event planner. So like you could like plan like in community events, like birthday parties, and like, I mean, they need people to do that. Otherwise, it could be complete chaos, and you wouldn't have any fun. So, like, I'd either want to be out like killing zombies or like planning birthday parties.
You'd be the concierge of the
Steph, are you like trying to relive your last job in the post-apocalypse?
Well, office actually, administrator.
That was one of my favorite things about you know, I mean, like I enjoyed it. Was, you know, I enjoyed that. So
Steph, it's the apocalypse. We probably don't even know what day of the month it is.
Well, I mean, but you know, you still need to
keep track.
You still need to make people feel special. You'd have like community events to like, you know, meet your neighbors and have a good time together. Maybe like drink some whiskey.
It was a person on the Love Boat. I can't think of her name now. Oh my god, Julie, like, I guess.
It's like the forecast calls for a zombie horde today, but if it's clear, we're gonna have the fall festival tonight.
Yes,
we're gonna have a luau.
Could you imagine planning fall festivals? Yes, please. Okay, all right. Moving on. So we start off with the episode. Well, so yeah, so, I mean, I won't give. I'll just say, if anyone's listening to this, just play episode 1 and 2 or go and watch, you know, summaries, because I don't want, you know, we have a lot to talk about, so I'm not going to go into like a recap. But so the episode started out with, I mean, we had just, so where we ended last week is we had just arrived at Richmond. And Kate was supposedly dying. that was shown out the door. But she was doing pretty bad. We were trying to get her into a doctor. So, you know, we're all like, you know, told to like drop our weapons, or we have the option to, or whatever. So, you know, down the ground we go. Out comes a supposed leader, one of the leaders of the group, David, which is your brother, your long lost brother, who you haven't seen since like night one of the zombie apocalypse. So, you know, that's where it kind of left off. It was like, David's alive. Yeah, so, and he's part of the New Frontier, which is supposedly, quote unquote, the bad guys. So this episode, we start off like we have started off the past 2 episodes, pretty much, with a flashback. Kind of giving us a look into, I think it was, what, 3 months after the zombie apocalypse started? I think, yeah, because he said that they had waited there 3 months for David, because supposedly, like, well, I mean, not supposedly, but David and Javier's mom was bitten the night kind of everything started happening. They were driving her to the hospital. David had her in his car, taking her to the hospital, but they were rerouted, and they never saw David or mom again. Of course, mom didn't make it, but so, you know, they waited there for 3 months for David. David did not come back to the house. So it was just Javier, Kate, and the kids. How did you guys feel about this one? Because I know that, like, the last one was, like, last. I think episode 2 was kind of like, yeah, I'm not really sure if we needed to see this. How do you guys feel about this flashback? Necessary?
I kind of felt this flashback was a little more necessary than the last episode's flashback.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I wish this flashback was in the last episode instead of the one we got last episode.
Yeah.
You know, because it gave you context of like that they were on their own, and it was like, and they don't know where David is. And so they left him a note, and they're like, okay, we're just going to keep on going. You know, we're going to leave our house and we're going to hit the road, you know? And whereas last week's, you know, we went on and on about how weird last week's flashback was and how really all the last episode's flashback did was remind you of who David was.
Yeah.
And then, make you automatically not like him no matter what happened.
Show you how desperate Kate was.
It was like telling you Kate's desperate, David's a jerk. You know, whereas I feel like if we just knew that, oh, they didn't see David as soon as he left with the mother, who we knew with the mother was bitten. And it's like, and then they talked the kids into leaving and they left him a note. It's like, I feel like that would have better set up David's reveal and left us open to how to respond to David rather than already being set up. Oh, you're not supposed to like David.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Couple things. Three months is about 2 months. Two months. Too many. I would have been at, you know, really 3 months. Okay. Yeah, where are you getting food for 3 months?
I mean, I guess that they had the local stores to their houses. Yeah.
Yeah. Along with everyone else. I mean, and here's a curious thought. What about the other brother? We still don't know what happened to the other brother. We know mom's dead.
What? Well, you mean the one person that was in the...
But that had scratch marks on his arms.
Oh, that's the uncle. He obviously probably also turned along with the mother.
That's a good question.
You're not supposed to know. You're not supposed to remember him.
That's a good question. He hasn't brought up at all.
Right.
They probably deleted his asset after that first episode. So they could revisit.
Javier doesn't even ask David about it. He asks about his mom, but obviously his uncle was in the car with him. Who cares about it?
His uncle was just as much of a jerk as David was.
Who knows? More so.
I don't know. Did he even have like any lines in the first episode?
No.
He had one or two.
If he did, I didn't care.
They were so memorable.
About him.
Yes, but still. Puddles. But I mean, it's...
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, it's inconsistencies. It's just adding to my, I guess, all our angst on this this season of Walking Dead.
I'm completely confused as to why Javier did not take the bat with him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, like, he took the bat, and he that's also another thing, candle burning when he left.
Yeah, I mean, really. David comes back to a charred cinder of what's left of the house.
I mean, just going off of, like, you know, why he didn't take the bat. It's like they show this big long scene of Mariana like picking up her tape player and like looking at the tape and the bunny and the tape and the bunny, and she decides to take the tape. And it's like, why can't you take the both. Small
now,
stuffed
she
rabbit?
Was looking at the bunny and then she went over to the tape.
It looked like she was struggling to believe
which one she wanted to take with her.
And also,
like, why not both?
Also, there was a second cassette tape next to the stuffed rabbit, and it's like the whole thing is like she only had one tape. And it's like tapes aren't that big.
Yeah, you could easily put it in your pocket and be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was just, I don't know, but then also it felt weird that they stayed on Mariana that long.
Well, not to mention that I mean, I mentioned this in the chat, like in the text chat, but like I don't understand the physics of Gabe and Mariana's size in the flashback. Like, for some reason Gabe's size, because he was almost smaller than Mariana, but he's older than Mariana. But he looked smaller, and he seemed like he was a lot younger, because like he was talking about writing a letter and like going on like he was a little kid. And Mariana was like, "I'll help him with the letter," and I'm like, and so then I started questioning on like, was I wrong about their ages? But no, Gabe is older, but he seemed like a toddler.
I think
I think it might have also been just the way his voice was.
No, but I mean his stature. Even he was smaller than Mariana.
I think I could be wrong. I mean, I'd have to like look back at it, but I want to say that like they didn't use the same model for Mariana from the first episode, like when they were young.
Yeah, it was only 3 months ago.
She looked almost
I think they used like the modern one.
Exactly.
But not even that. Like, I felt from the moment like it started, I felt like all the animation in the flashback just seemed way more stiff than like the rest of the scenes. Which I mean, graphically, I mean, all of this has been pretty stiff, and you know, but it's like, it just seemed, and I even noticed like Marietta, like she was like weirdly, like just standing up straight and like barely moving her face. And it just, I don't know. The whole, it all felt a little off.
It's like they gave it to all the Telltale interns that year and was like, here, guys, create this scene for us.
Dare I say that, considering the Telltale situation, that the people who did the first flashback were not the same people who did this flashback? Because if you go look at the two models, it's only 3 months later and they look totally different.
It was super weird. Yeah, it was super weird.
Anyway.
And also, like, when Kate and Javier were outside at the very beginning of the flashback, they run across Gabe's friend, who is now turned into a zombie, and he attacks Javier. Kate has the gun, but fails to shoot him because she just had...
She has a hammer.
Hammer. Yeah, but she didn't
attack him because...
It was a kid. A kid zombie.
Right.
It's terrifying. My question is, like, because, like, they acted like, you know, because I think they even mentioned, like, he lives down the street or something, you know, he's Gabe's best friend. And it seemed like, you know, because Gabe, you know, I mean, it seemed almost like, you know, they had seen him recently, maybe. And so I'm, like, thinking, okay, well, so him and his family live in a separate house down the street or whatever. So, like, but in my thinking, I'm thinking, well, why didn't they all just, like, be together? Like, if I were in the situation, and you guys can tell me what you think. If I was in a situation, I was like, oh, there's a couple houses down the street who are fighting zombies and trying to survive as well. Maybe we should pool our resources and work together instead of being like, I'm going to live in this house. You can live in your house, all boarded up separately. What would you guys do? Like, do you guys think that, like, living separately in your own houses would be a good decision? Or do you think it'd be better to, like, group up?
I mean,
go ahead, Jonathan.
Okay. I think it would make sense, like, if the families had, like, stayed in the neighborhood and stuff, it's like that you'd work together. And you'd, like, keep a lookout for each other. I could see, like, you staying in your own house kind of thing. But the impression it gave was almost like, oh, we haven't left the house. We're the only ones who stayed. You know, we're the only ones who stayed in the neighborhood, and we haven't even gone out to see. Because I feel like... The fact that they remembered, like, oh... Old man Jenkins had the propane tank in his trunk. It's like, but then it's like, what? The kid came out of the house and he's a zombie?
Yeah.
No way.
Like, they had just seen him yesterday, and like all of a sudden now he's turned.
Yeah.
But his parents.
He didn't look fresh.
Who knows about his parents?
I think it was probably that he probably just remembered his friends. Like,
yeah, I mean, that was the intent.
I mean, it's only been 3 months.
You know, it's
could still assume that, hey, my friends are still alive in the area or something.
Yeah, it's only supposed to be a block or a couple blocks down. It's like, after the crap hits the fan, and after about a week, I'd be canvassing the neighborhood, A, for supplies.
Oh, for sure.
To see who else is around and what else. You know, and to marshal, you know, your forces together. Are you staying? Are you leaving? What are you doing? They've been sitting there for 3 months. It's like they should know, you know, within a mile.
Like, who's radius still here? Of, who's not?
Right, within a mile dead. Radius. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, like, it felt. Yeah. Like I said, like. So far I like this flashback better than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it, like, I felt it was a nicer setup of, like, telling you where's David, what happened to the mom and everything.
Right.
Although just them, not the uncle who disappeared. Mm-hmm. but yeah, I also like I I know it was like, it was reminding you that like Gabe was little and everything. They, you know, but his whole like, oh, we don't have to leave. It's like, oh, I mean, I get that because he's a kid. He doesn't want to leave his home. But then his whole like, me and my friends, we'll stick it out. It's like, this ain't no like Peter Pan and Lost Boys. It's like,
These are zombies. Yeah. Maybe I was thinking to myself, pull the old runaway trick where a kid's going to say he's going to run away. And it's like, all right, go ahead. It'd be like, okay, Gabe, you stay here. We're leaving. Bye. Just wait outside the house for an hour and then come back. All right, you ready to go?
I mean, it's like part of me understands like the whole like, oh, they're kids. We need to like shelter them from this. But it's like, it's obvious there's no one else is in the neighborhood. Zombies are roaming around. It's like he should already know that, you know, I mean, his grandpa's dad and his uncle are gone for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it should be clicking in his head that it's not right. It's like, you can't just hold the fort down with your buddies from elementary school.
Well, I mean,
like it just seemed like adults trying to write kid lines, you know, not well.
In season two, was it? Yeah. You have, what's her face there? The girl.
Yeah.
Where, you know, she's old enough to kind of understand, or at least old enough that she should be able to understand what's going on, and has basically like regressed to, what was it, like a 6 year old? Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's, I think they did an okay job of portraying this, because it's like kids do process trauma and stuff differently. So.
Sure.
I mean, yes, it's annoying and everything, but I think they did an all right job with kind of handling, you know, that type of situation with someone within that age group, basically.
Yeah. It's a good point.
And like I said, I like this flashback better. Like I don't think they should have. Like I think like it was good that this flashback was here. It's like I wish they just had put it in an episode earlier. You know?
Yeah.
And a quick question. Is Grandpa still in the bedroom?
Hopefully they would have cleared that out.
Well, yeah. Duh. I mean, it's like...
Anyways.
Okay.
So, like, with the... gosh. Like, so what did you guys feel about gameplay with this episode? Like, to me, it feels like increasingly with each episode it gets more and more limited to what we actually do.
Yes, it was non-existent.
I felt like I was answering dialogue for 80% of this game.
The most gameplay was when we had to go get into the when we were kicked out.
Yeah.
Killing the zombies, then getting into the place, and then having like the red frame like warning stuff, like oh god, and then killing everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The badger fight was annoying because of the really annoying quick time event of having to go and push away his gun right after he was going to. Right after you pushed it back.
I bought it about 5 times with Badger.
Yeah, because they have that strange quick times. Right after you. I mean, like it had like the I mean, if it's the same place, like it was like you're pressing Q to like,
and then you gotta dodge. Yeah.
You have to press E immediate, like it's like as soon as it gets there.
Then you had to go and grab the cup and then hit E or Q or something.
Which is so
you had to do it really fast.
It's so interesting because like they have moments like that, but yet every other
hours of nothing.
Other moment, like every other time that you dodge, they give you a longer time to like dodge in this season than they did even in the previous seasons, it seems like.
Yeah.
But yet that one thing of like, and I noticed it with like, I think maybe last episode, like it was like there was another moment where you had to like press E immediately after you hit Q or you died.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
I what irritated me the most that like it hit me more this episode than past episodes is how like they put in the quote unquote gameplay sessions, like the gameplay parts. Like it felt incredibly forced. Like they're like, oh, it's like we gotta put them in there. And it's like, yeah. Part of me is just like, just if you want to make it just dialogue options, go just ahead.
Do it.
You know? Yeah. It's like, yeah. Like, and if there's like a fight scene or a battle scene, I'm like, okay. But like in the flashback, you get to the truck. Yes. It's like,
yeah.
It's like you look and it's like you stop at the back of the truck and it's like, are you going to look at the propane tank?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to pick it up?
Exactly.
Or then it's like when like you get kicked out of Richmond and like Ava brings you the duffel bag.
Yes.
And like it goes to a quick time of like, do you want to open the duffel bag?
Yeah, let's leave it closed. Yeah.
It was like, why? Why was that even necessary? And then later on,
and you don't even like, you don't even like actually physically unzip the duffel bag like in previous episodes. You just click the button.
You just click it.
Yeah, and then like even like later on, I mean, in the episodes, like you're supposed to throw a rock to distract somebody.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And
it could be maybe I didn't see it, but it seemed like you had the choice to throw it at multiple things,
mm-hmm.
but I only saw the Transformer.
Yeah, I think that was the only thing.
No, I
threw that was like door. The whole. You could throw it at the door?
Yeah, there was a window and a door that I threw it through.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I only saw the Transformer.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that was like.
Somehow magically still has electricity going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
going to start a fire and burn down the town.
Yeah, that was one of those things I thought about after the fact. I'm like, wait a second. Wait.
I just knocked out power for Richmond. Oh, great.
Oh, man. So when you first, the episode starts out after the flashback. You are at the gate. David is there. It really bothered me. Like, when David saw Kate, that she was in pretty bad shape. At the time, he was like immediately like, oh my God, Kate, I need to save you. But upon seeing his son, who he thought was dead, he really has no reaction.
He really doesn't. And like Gabe even like runs up and hugs him.
I know.
Before he even acknowledges Gabe, he's like, Javi? As Gabe's hugging him, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then even with Kate, he doesn't. Even like so look weird. At Kate until Javi says Kate needs help, but he's like, "Oh my gosh, oh God, it's my wife!"
My wife.
Maybe he's just thirsty.
Maybe.
And again, poor writing. I guess I don't even remember.
Yeah,
he doesn't even ask about Miranda, right?
Yeah, no, he doesn't. Who? Not until after the fact.
Who
yeah.
exactly?
Not until Gabe like told him everything off screen.
Oh, by the way, my sister, your daughter is dead.
Your only daughter,
Mariana.
yeah, it's like
Miranda Mariana. Gives it an M. That's basically as I get into.
Yeah,
it.
It's okay. David probably doesn't remember either.
No, David doesn't remember. So why should the rest of us? Why should the rest of us? Obviously,
that is a terrible excuse. David is a horrible person.
Yeah.
Which the game makes it. I mean, I've said this before, but it's like they've already like the game's already got you to get to the point of like, hey, remember, you don't like David. It's like
yeah. So like, how do you guys? So with that, I mean, there's really you guys can go talking about the episode as a whole. Even like, did your opinions change of David any like?
Yeah, I sort of warmed up to him a bit.
Frank?
He was just trying to, you know, it seemed, especially after he found out about the stuff that happened at Prescott mm-hmm. and look, turning into it, he seemed to be genuinely upset about it and wanting to do something about it. So I kind of like gave him some leeway on that. And I you know, not to jump ahead, but I did, you know, despite all the games edging you otherwise, stuck with the plan, you know, yeah. Went to his house, you know, it's like, yeah. You know, that's just the way I felt.
Yeah.
We can talk about that decision later if you're interjecting things about the decision.
No. Okay. I didn't end up liking him more because one of the things he says, I didn't get a screenshot of it though, is it finally took the zombie apocalypse or the apocalypse, whatever, for you to take responsibility for things.
Yeah. Like
that annoyed me so much.
And I'm like, wow, you bastard.
Yeah. The writing in this episode, like from the get go, the writing, or just like the way the story was going, it's just like it made me not care of like what was going to happen at all,
mm-hmm.
which made me really angry because I'm like,
yeah.
This is supposed to be like the emotional linchpin episode, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, and I'm like. There, if like just little things that would have made it like the whole episode that much more meaningful,
mm-hmm.
like if we didn't have the whole him being a jerk flashback last mm-hmm. episode, you know, if we weren't already conditioned to think David is a bad husband, jerky brother kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and if he didn't have all these lines like Kevin was saying about like. Because like he had like three of those jabs like right in the first few interactions with him in the game,
yeah.
Where he was just like, "Oh, my deadbeat! This is my deadbeat brother."
Yeah,
you know, it's like, "Oh, I talk about him all the time."
Yeah,
even though I thought he was dead for the past 3 years, you know, it's like
I think it was Ava mentioned that he talked about like she was like, "Oh yeah, he's talked," you know, and mm-hmm. and I think Javier says something like, "All good things, I hope," or something, and Ava's like, "What do you think?"
Yeah, exactly.
I think it, because David's supposed to represent, like, because he was in the military and he's supposed to be like, I'm a man. He's essentially like the other David we know of.
I guess it's like
from Life is Strange.
Mm-hmm. But poor writing that doesn't like the writing in this season like doesn't sell me on any of the characters.
It
like,
really doesn't.
And I think that that's, like, that's probably what they are going for, Kevin, like, now that you mention that. But, like, but still, they don't sell it. They don't sell any of their personalities enough to where you're just, like.
Yeah, everybody seems to be flip-flopping a lot. I mean,
I get that, yeah.
Their motivations.
Tripless raging one minute and then friendly the next. And
oh, that was on my post-it note of angry thoughts was true.
I think Conrad's all apologetic. Well, if Conrad made it in your playthrough.
Yeah.
He's all apologetic. Latin. Yeah. What's that?
They all have that Latin rage.
Soap
opera Latin rage.
So, talk about the writing. Like, one of the things that really irritated me, which we've seen this in the past couple episodes, but I felt it was worse here, is that, like, every time you have, like, a binary decision, like you have two choices.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
extremes.
Yeah, they're extremes, but then also the characters around you, they're either gonna love you or hate you, mm-hmm. depending on that choice. Even if you mm-hmm. don't think it's a big choice, yeah. like I forget what choice I did, but then like arbitrarily, all of a sudden, Jesus hates me now.
Yes,
you know, it's like
I made the exact same choice.
Yeah, and it was like, wait, what?
Hey, what choice was that?
It was letting David in. When David was pounding on the door to get into the facility that was holding all the stuff from the different towns.
Clem was
pointing her gun at Javi, saying, don't you open the door, don't let that baby killer in, because she thought that he had killed AJ or had a part in it. And, you know, you can either back away from the door or let him in. And I backed away because I didn't want to further irritate Clementine.
Yeah, she had a gun to your head. Yeah.
And then Jesus comes in and lets David in, and he's like, I thought you were a better man than that.
Yeah, and then he brings it up like later.
Or a good guy, or something like that.
Yeah.
I let him in, and Jesus remembered that.
Well, Jesus remembers a lot of things.
That is my favorite, like my favorite screenshot. Like I'm gonna use it for everything. Jesus will remember that.
Yeah. It also bothers me, like really quick, like how like everyone in this episode, even David, like bowed to Javi's decisions. Javi somehow becomes, even though he's not that much of a leader and not that much of a but he's not even like an everyman to where you're like, oh, like he doesn't aspire to be the leader, but he becomes one. Like it's just like you just fall into it because you're the player and the decision rests on you. But yet everyone bows to it. Like even David, like you make a decision sometimes. I mean, at least I noticed it once or twice that, you know, I would be like, yeah, let's do this. And David's like, okay, man, you know, and just kind of goes along with it.
Yeah. Or like talking about Trip, you know, last
Trip,
week.
Yeah, Trip. Trip because become nothing.
Well, I mean, last week I was complaining about how this is the leader of Prescott and everything, and he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
In episode two.
Yeah.
And then in episode three, it's like all of a sudden, right at the get-go, he has like a backbone. He's like, Javi, why'd you do this? We gotta save Eleanor. Oh, I love Eleanor. That wasn't a thing in the other two episodes, but I love Eleanor. You know, it's like
it was hinted at that he'd like to.
Yeah, but then like right after, like I was like, whoa, he's all like antagonizing Javi all of a sudden, but then like shortly after that, it's like, we had a bro talk about love and how it's messy. Now I follow you anywhere. You know, it's like, wait, what?
He's like, I got your back, you got mine. We got this. Yeah. Starting into some of the decisions that we make, the important decisions according to gamepressure.com. So the first one, they say that only affects some of your conversation, I think, with David, or just a couple of lines of dialogue. So it's not that important, but it's when you're having your interrogation with the other three leaders. As well as David, they ask if, or they, you know, cause you're kind of like, you have some dialogue up to this, and you can either tell them, because David tells you not to, to let them know that it was New Frontier that killed Mariana. And so you can either go along with this plan and stay silent, or you can say your people killed, you know, my niece.
Well, I think
you guys go for.
The important one before that was the spinach casserole or the baked, the Black Forest cake.
Oh, can I just ask why they're baking cakes in the zombie apocalypse?
Where are they getting chocolate?
Insane. that should have told you all you need to know.
The insane greedy woman is the one that's baking cake.
The cake is a lie.
And not just any cake, like not just like a sheet cake with some icing. Like
it was, you know, like the Black Forest cake. It was
double chocolate.
It was a foreshadow.
Yeah.
Most people don't make Black Forest cakes like in real life, like without the zombie apocalypse. But here she is. Everything's rationed. There's hardly anything around. But yet, hey, here's a Black Forest cake for you. Let's all eat.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
just the cake and some jokingly, spinach. That's all we need.
Like the cake looked like the cake from Portal almost. And so I was like, the cake is a lie. Yes. So maybe that was a clever foreshadowing. But I highly
I don't think they're that smart.
But, what made me mad was like they had that weird arbitrary scene of like I was like, is this a test between his like spinach artichoke dip and the cake?
Is something gonna poison me?
Well, I mean, like, I was like, is this important? Is this gonna like affect how they like see me? Is this like, you know, but then it's like, no, had nothing to do with absolutely anything.
Nope.
And it was like, what? But but going back to like to the main decision of whether you trusted like to just go along with David and like let him handle everything. Cause it's like, cause he was like, these are my men. He was like, he was like, these are my men. I'll handle it.
Yeah.
And if I made a decision that when I was playing it, I was you know, I've been playing it in my mind, like, I've been playing the character. Like, what would I think Javi would do?
Right.
But in this episode, just for the beginning, because the writing made me mad, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go for what I think is the crazier one, which I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and just, the game wants me to antagonize David. Let me try to antagonize David. And so I told them the truth, you know? And yeah. Then it was like, it didn't amount to all that much.
To a hill of beans.
Which I was like, oh.
Yeah. No, okay. I did the same thing. I just, at that point, I had enough of the wishy-washy, and I'm like, you know what? The massacre happened at Prescott, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just made David a little angry, but that was pretty much
a lot less than you would think, which is weird.
Yeah.
I ended up completely not going along with anything David wanted me to do because he was being a jerk in like the previous 5 minutes because he's like, oh, it finally took the zombie apocalypse for you to man up.
Yeah. I know.
So I was like, screw you, man.
Yeah. Sorry. Not sorry. Right after this, or well, pretty soon, because that I think gets you kicked out of Prescott. I mean,
I think no matter what, you get kicked out of Prescott.
Yes, yes, you do.
So
you don't. It only makes a difference with it says a couple of lines of dialogue, and that's it.
Yes.
So you get kicked out of Richmond because like the two
you
leaders
stole a
get upset.
Tank of gas, yeah.
For some reason, they get upset at Javier because you know, he tells them the truth, and they get upset with David too, but then they're just like, Javier and his friends need to leave, take them to the gates. And then David of course is angry.
Because they stole gas from our...
Yeah, in retrospect, your guys on your guard killed Hunt, you know, an innocent girl is standing there, you know, and shot at an unarmed woman, and then unleashed zombies on a camp, destroying a camp. But I stole a gallon of gasoline, and you're gonna kick me out of camp. Okay, that's fair.
From an ambulance that was like sitting in a junkyard that hadn't moved anywhere.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand that reasoning at all. Like because like and again like it was one of it was the daughter. It wasn't just any little girl. It was the daughter of one of their quote-unquote leaders, their head of security.
With David's anger issues, he should be like stark raving mad at this point.
Well, he wasn't happy to see his son, so I don't expect him to be that much mournful for his daughter.
Wow.
I mean, I just this what makes me mad about the writing and things about the episode is like it's like you can see what they wanted to do.
Yes.
And it's like it all of us just sitting here can think of a 10 times better way of how it should have been done.
Yeah.
It's like there was so much potential here. This could have been like such a huge emotional episode that turned the series around and make the season like season one or season two, but they like completely wasted it. And like
for sure.
Messed it up.
Sure. Yeah. With all these characters, like I see what they were going for, but it did not. Or at least for me, and it seems like for a few of you, like it just doesn't hit home.
None of the motivations make sense to me.
Yeah.
And they change from minute to minute.
Yeah.
So going with, you run into Clementine, and you get to see another one of her flashbacks. Which didn't, I think it's only because I'm getting used to them, like getting used to them being interjected into my Javier gameplay. That it didn't bother me as much this time.
Well,
and
as
Madeline told me, she said finally a Clementine flashback that actually fits into like the overall story.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was like. I was like,
yeah, finally, it's like a reveal. Holy shit!
Context. Whoa! Yeah. It was like,
yeah. So in the flashback, you're sneaking. I mean, you're already part, or as Clementine, and you're already part of the new the new order of the new frontier. You're already part of the new frontier, and you're sneaking in to get AJ some medicine because he's sick. And in doing so, you get caught. Like, you're trying to steal, like, it's a specific medication. I'm totally, I wish Madeline was here because I'm totally going to butcher this. It's like vancomycin.
Vancomycin.
Yeah. And just look it up. It's
Madeline did tell me, and I will say, I put it in the notes, but I'll say it on verbally as well. Madeline, who's a nurse, said that specific medicine needs to be refrigerated when it's dissolved in liquid in order to remain effective. And it was just like sitting in a case or something.
Right.
So it wouldn't be effective because it wasn't refrigerated. And it said that... and that it wouldn't have helped AJ with his viral infection, but it didn't really give enough information for you to really understand like what was exactly wrong with him.
Right. I mean, you didn't
Clementine
know.
Clementine seemed pretty worried about him because she thought that he had died after she left him. Like, she just figured that he would turn into a zombie for some reason. Yeah, so she thought he was pretty bad, even though he didn't seem like on death's bed in the flashback. What I found really interesting, and I don't know, maybe you guys have a different opinion of this, but like, I didn't understand why David, because David was there along with a few other people and Ava, I didn't understand why they wanted to keep AJ after they kicked her, because she was stealing something, so they were like, oh, you're stealing something from us. That means you're kicked out forever. Even though now currently people from their group were like killing people and stealing things, and they're completely fine with it. But
yeah, that made me so mad. That was like one of the things.
It seemed like Joan might not have been part of the group at that point, though.
Oh, maybe not. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but that makes sense. They go from...
And they were also a much smaller group then.
They were. This was pre-Richmond takeover.
Yeah.
Well, it made me super angry because I'm like, it makes, like, that was when, like, oh, they threw motivation out the window. Because, like, literally right before they give Clementine, like, they say, Clementine, you got to leave, but leave AJ. David just went on a rant about how we should have threw that kid out into the woods the moment he got sick, you know, and it was like, whoa, what? And it's like, we should have got rid of him because he's taking all our resources. It's like, so because of that, we're keeping him and you got to go away. You know, it's like, what?
That's a huge disconnect. They were ready to make AJ do the Alaskan walk out into the wilderness. And, you know, now...
2 seconds later.
2 seconds later, we're keeping him.
Yeah.
Even though 3 seconds ago, we were ready for him to pass on.
Is that they were trying to, I mean, but they didn't act they didn't even make the characters seem like they were doing it out of spite. Like, you have to leave, but you have to leave one of your most valued possessions right now, or valued people that, you know, right now, you have to leave him behind. You know, we're doing this to spite you and to punish you and to be, you know, hateful to you. But it seemed more like, oh, well, his only chance is going to be with us. He's not going to survive out in that wilderness.
Or part of me was thinking, like, maybe it was because we now don't have that medicine. The medicine was wasted on this kid. So we're going to make this kid useful no matter what. But that still doesn't make sense.
See, I missed the prompt because I was sitting there thinking, do I give him the medicine or do I not? And I waited too long. And so it prompted to, or it defaulted to, not giving him the medicine. So I didn't even give him the freaking medicine. And yet they still were like, no. So.
And then while on top of all that, the doctor, they talk about how the doctor's stoned. And it's like,
they can't really do much to the doctor. For like yell at him and maybe like hurt him somewhat physically, because he's the only doctor they have. So you kind of have to put up with the addicted doctor in order to actually have a doctor.
Well, true, but why did the doctor need to be a drug addict there to begin with? Just because couldn't McGuffin. Stop?
Yeah. Why isn't anyone else a drug addict?
For writing.
Where's he getting the drugs?
Like, I think it was just for the whole purpose of him to say, Clementine, the drugs won't work, and then have him not have the strength to stop her. Exactly. Like, I think that was the whole reason.
No. Yeah.
And it's like, what? And then talking about the choices, the random choices that make a character randomly hate you or love you, was they give you the choice after, like, tearing you a new one, they give Clementine the choice of, well, you could say goodbye. And it's like, you could say goodbye or spit in David's face.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't care. I spit in David's face. And then all of a sudden, Ava's like, you're a terrible human being. I can't believe I trusted you. It's like, really, Ava? Yeah. Really?
How could you not say goodbye to Goofball? Come on.
How could you not say goodbye to Goofball?
Because I was angry, and apparently, according to Ava, I'm not human.
Why couldn't I say goodbye to AJ and then spit in David's face?
Yeah,
there you go. That would have been the best solution.
Why not both?
Yeah. Porque no los dos.
Yeah, like, I like that. I like that, Kevin. Yeah, and then also, like, I didn't think that her, to me at least, I didn't think that her, like, stuff that she said in the flashback, like, didn't match up to, I think, her personality. Like, she seemed, you know, she seemed like Clementine from, like, you know, like, post episode, you know, post season one than Clementine that has went through season one and two. Or even, like, what we know of, I mean, like, this wasn't too long ago, I wouldn't think. I wouldn't think that this is, like, her flashback was very, very, well, I guess, no, they've been in Richmond, so I guess.
Well, she was desperate and now she feels kind of betrayed or whatever.
I guess. Like, it still didn't
AJ match up was, but... like, her... I think they were, like, trying to, like, say that, like, AJ was her, like, lifeline to, like, goodness, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, she was desperate to save AJ. Like, AJ has to survive.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, as you said, he was the
AJ's
one
who... AJ is, like, her surrogate child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they just went, you know, they went with the illness MacGuffin. Just, I mean, they could have, I mean, I think the dialogue, personally, I think the dialogue would have been a lot more meaningful if they just had the discussion that, you know, that Clementine wanted to leave the group and, you know, was AJ going to be better off with Clementine or the group? You know, that would have been the moral discussion to have, and it was a would be a difficult discussion and a difficult choice, but they just sort of went with this tropey thing about AJ being almost terminally ill and all that.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Which at first, like, I even, like, I couldn't even tell, like, when it was taking place. Like, I was like, is this
like a year, 6 months? What? Right. Yeah.
Probably a few months ago.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
So your next big decision is with Badger. You can either, with that.
Eventually you get the best of Badger after about six or seven tries.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So once you do get the best of Badger, you can either leave him to turn. Now, Badger, for those listening, I guess, or hearing this, like, Badger was the one that I think killed Mariana, right? Like, she was the one. No. She was the one.
Well, he shot both, I think. He shot Mariana.
Wait, we don't know if he shot Mariana. We just know his group did.
He was the leader.
Yeah, and he was also the one leading it and pushing them to destroy Prescott.
Yes.
Yeah. He shot Francine.
Yeah. Definitely shot Francine, yeah. We know that for
sure. Yeah, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay. So your decision is, you know, so you best him. You finally, you know, get a hold of him. He's on the ground. You can either kill him there with your baseball bat to the head. Very lovely. You can either leave him to turn, or if Conrad's still with you, if you didn't shoot him back in episode one.
And you let him have the gun.
Episode two. Oh, and you let him have
the gun. Because if you don't let him have the gun, he'll end up dying on the way to the garage.
Oh. Yeah.
That's what happened to me. He died. He doesn't, obviously never played baseball. Doesn't slide very well underneath the garage door. Gets stuck and and the zombies pull him
everyone
out.
Everyone knows how to slide in this game. Everyone knows how to slide.
Yeah, it's,
except for Conrad.
It
could have been a slick. It could have been a slick garage floor, like oil spill.
Yeah,
I guess. So what did you guys decide to do with Badger? Did you let him turn, kill him, or if you had Conrad still with you, let Conrad kill him?
I let Conrad kill him.
Ooh.
That's good.
I let him turn because it was a novel idea at the time. It was like, I've never done this. Let's let him turn.
Yeah, same for me. I let him turn.
Or as Javier said, it's only right. Which after he said that, I was like, I don't think that's the right response, but sure. He was like, just let him turn. It's only right, or something like that. I don't know.
He's probably going to like come back as a zombie the next episode, sure. Kill Chip or something.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about that here. But yeah.
In retrospect, I think the perfect answer would have been to throw him out the window and let the zombies get him.
Yeah.
Just toss him right out the window.
Yeah. So Jesus is with you during this time. You know, he does some awesome.
But Jesus is always with us.
He does some awesome, like he did like a random roundhouse kick to one zombie.
Yeah, he's got some mad skills. Yes.
So I mean, but other than like, you know, showing off like that he is cool under pressure, always has a quip, and can roundhouse kick zombies, he really has no point in this episode.
That's right. He's basically the Chuck Norris of this.
Really?
How do you guys?
He plays a very high, I guess, moral person for the most part.
But I feel like that role, like that's Trip. Like, I feel like that's like you're comparing yourself to Trip.
A more hippie, stable version.
Yeah, I mean, but just playing as a moral, as someone with quips and with a slight morals. I mean, I don't think he's any more moralistic than Javier. I mean, Javi's pretty, or he can be if you play him that way, can be moralistic. But I mean, like, so do you guys think that is he even, say in episode 4 and 5, if he doesn't, you know, I don't know.
Come back.
Walk on water. I don't know. If like, you know, so like, but do you guys think that he's just like thrown in there for fan service as like?
That's exactly what I thought. He was in there just for hype. I'm surprised. Yeah. You know, if you go back, maybe looking at blogs or you know stuff from back when, you know, this season was coming out. I'm sure they've hyped that. Oh, Jesus is going to be in this episode. You know.
Yeah.
On this season. Mm-hmm. He
appears in like Jesus was introduced into the television show earlier that year, and then
Jesus is amazing in the cut. And I really like his character in the television show. Personally.
Well, yeah, he's a great character, but
yes,
like,
he serves a purpose in the television.
When he goes to leave, I felt like, and that's it for Jesus. People, a big hand, big round of applause for Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, even in the last episode, it was like he really wasn't needed.
Right.
You know, it's like any other character could have been like, oh, look, there's a tunnel. Let's try that.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it
set dressing.
It was just like, I mean, it'd be one thing if they like, if like he left in episode 2, like he got him through the tunnel and he's like, I'm getting out of here. Or if he stayed throughout, like, I mean, maybe he'll come back in the next 2 episodes, but I doubt it.
Jesus will come back? Yeah.
Yes.
In 3 days. But,
well, we only have 2 episodes left.
That's
we're going to hell for that. We're all going to hell for that.
insert, Jesus will remember that meme.
Yeah.
I'm gonna save that forever. But I just... Like, because I think back to season 1,
because
season 1 was the... Because season 2 didn't have any, like, cameos from the comics or TV shows, I don't think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But season 1...
Glenn and Herschel.
Glenn was in 1.
Was in there.
Yes.
Well, yeah, Glenn and Herschel were in season 1. I'm saying no then, one...
Yeah.
In season then, 2, I don't think anyone from the comics was in it.
No.
Yeah.
They had, Yeah, and then they, I know in, yeah, because I was looking at the wiki, and then the other one that has comic characters is the Rochelle game, which we
Michonne.
Yeah, Michonne.
Yeah, which, wrong, well,
wrong,
yeah.
wrong zombie game.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, like in season one, thinking back on it, it's like AJ. I mean, not AJ. Glenn. Glenn was only there at the like beginning of episode one, and it made sense because he was part of that group mm-hmm. that he ran into, and then he left, and like it fit in with the comics. He's like, I'm gonna go to Atlanta, which is where the comics start yeah. with him yeah. in Atlanta searching for friends. And then at Herschel, it made sense because that was the first place of refuge, and
yes.
and like if you know Herschel's story in the comics or in the you know TV show, it's like it kind of helped set up why he didn't want to give up on zombies, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it all made sense, and they were there for a little bit of time. They were an actual cameo. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jesus, like, it wasn't just a cameo. It was like, oh, nope, he's part of your group. He's mm-hmm. not going to say much, but he's there. Until he's not.
It's fine.
Until he's not.
Yeah.
And if you make one arbitrary decision, he's going to hate you.
He's going to hate you forever.
Jesus will remember that.
Well, yeah, but it was like, I'm still boggled by that. Like, someone's threatening you with a gun, and so you choose not to open a door. He's like, all of a sudden, I thought you were one of the good guys. I thought you cared about human life, but you don't. And it's like, yeah. Wait, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calm down, Jesus.
Way to be judgy, Jesus. Way to be judgy. Yeah, so around this time, just one thing I would like to, with David, and partially why I don't trust him, because I feel like he's not telling the entire truth about everything. First of all, do you think that David is telling the truth when he says that he didn't know that the raids were going on in the other towns?
He seemed genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
I think in reality, of course he would know. If it was better written, I would think he'd probably know. Yeah. But as far as where the story is going, I think he had no clue.
Yeah,
yeah, I gotta go with that. Although the whole time in the hospital when I'm talking to Kate and Gabe about where we're going to go, and it's like, I'm probably walking into a trap at David's house, but that's where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, I was going like knowing that I just have the feeling that they're going to be waiting for me, you know, with guns at David's house, you know. But turned out it wasn't so.
Another thing that I find hard to believe is that he doesn't, because as soon as Clementine sees him, she like pulls a gun on him.
Yeah.
As soon as he sees David, and calls him a baby killer. But he says that he doesn't, like, because like he said, AJ's still alive. And so Clementine's like, well, where is he at? And he was like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, I run security for this place, but I have no idea.
Someone brought him in, and, you know, or so-and-so, you know, brought him in and took him to the infirmary, and I don't know what happened after that. And it's like, okay, listen, buddy. So, like, you're saying that, like, as head of security, I mean, Richmond seems like, it seems like a big settlement, yes, but it doesn't seem like gigantic to where you would lose track or wouldn't see the same people a lot. Right.
I don't know. They still have power in the power lines, so who knows?
I think this is this is kind of going along with the whole, oh, there's all these secret raids going on, and I don't know about it. So it's right. kind of like it. Some people are kind of keeping secrets from each other.
Right. And
just for a, you know, cherry on top of the outrageous writing, how do they get shipping containers? How do you steal a shipping container without somebody knowing? The yeah. property of Prescott Airfly. A truck, but you need a crane to put it on the truck. Those, you can't lift those things humanly by yourself. You need a crane.
Yeah. Well, they did have a giant, they had a pretty decent sized truck.
Yeah, but how do you
every decent sized truck they've had, they've tipped over. Oh, yeah. There was the one Clementine knocked over in the first episode. And then there was second one with the zombies.
Right. Oh yeah, the one that falls over through the gates that opened up before the truck actually smashed through them.
That's shipping. I'm talking couple ton shipping containers. How do you how do you not notice them missing?
Could they have
I think those were ones
stupid enough that to put the stuff in the shipping containers when they got there and then marked them like children, property of Prescott.
I think those were containers that they got after they raided Prescott.
Yeah, but then why would they mark them? Like, why would they
MacGuffin label them? They were part of the Prescott is an airport or was an airport.
Yes.
So they had actual airport shipping containers.
I don't think that they made it seem that way, though. They made it seem like, because Trip read one, he was like, I think this is the stuff that they stole from us. Like, after reading property of Prescott.
Yeah, I think it was just they went to Prescott, they found boxes at Prescott, and they're like, well, we'll take them. But it's like, Prescott didn't seem that well off. It's like, what supplies did they steal? Which I don't know if you noticed, there was like an arcade machine in the background.
Yeah, and that was Prescott's too, because he was like,
how do you steal that?
Hey, space invaders.
It's like,
they also removed the out of order sign off of the arcade machine.
It's like, why?
Yeah.
It's like, why were they stealing this stuff to begin with? You got a pawn
it.
If you steal stuff, do you label it?
Because Joan is the sweet, innocent old lady that is not the sweet, innocent old lady
at all. I was like, really, like I was like, surely they're not going to make it that simple that it was Joan. In my head, I was like, that is such like the obvious cliche thing to do. I was expecting it to be. Because even when they were talking about Joan in the warehouse before you, like, sneak up on him, like, it didn't sound like they were following Joan like a leader. They were just like, Joan's on a warpath, you know? Yeah. And so I was thinking in my head, I'm like, it's the spinach guy.
You know? The
spinach guy was already, like, kind of, like, snippy and jerky with you.
Yeah, he was.
You know?
He was...
And so I was thinking...
I think that he was... And he was the one that was, like, head of, I think, supplies. Like, he was head of supplies, blah, blah, blah. And then Joan was, like, head of, like...
The diplomat.
Like, head of resident
ambassador
relations
for Richmond.
Outer relations or something. Yeah. But anyways,
she wanted supplies so she could make her cakes.
For sure.
I want all the chocolate.
Our next big choice was with Max. If you killed him or if you took him with you as kind of a, not really a bargaining chip, but like to kind of help your cause when you confronted the other leaders. What did you guys choose to do?
Oh, yeah, definitely grab. You got to grab Max. You can't.
Did anyone?
He's your only hope of proving what you're saying.
I chose to not say to bring him,
or
whatever, or shoot him. So David went and shot him.
Wow!
I killed him. I killed him straight up.
Oh, Jonathan, why? Why did you kill Max?
I was just so fed up with him because it's like, because he was another one of those like wishy-washy characters that the writing like just threw away because it was like. From the beginning, he was very,
he's a jerk. No doubt.
He was a jerk, but he was like the reasonable one. Like they set up, like Badger was psycho one and he was like, whoa, what are you doing, man? But then he throws you like under the bus, like a couple times. And he keeps like, oh, I didn't mean to. Like, I was just like, so just done with him as a character. So I was just like,
he didn't like the Home Alone guy.
I was just thinking to myself, killing him right then and there was the checkers move. The chess move is to bring him along, have him testify, and then kill him.
this episode didn't have good enough writing for me to think about strategy.
Oh, and then if you don't kill Max or the other
doesn't
one,
doesn't David shoot up the meeting or
personally,
something?
If you don't shoot Badger or Max, Jesus ends up kind of or doesn't end up acting surprised that you care about him when you're saying goodbye to him afterwards.
He acted. Oh well, no. Okay, I didn't kill either of them, so yeah.
Oh yeah. Like,
he didn't act surprised me, but yeah.
Yeah. So he'll act surprised if you killed either of them.
That you care that he's leaving.
Yeah. That you care about human life.
Yeah, because you didn't open the door, so you're a terrible person.
Dear goodness. Well,
I'm not a terrible person. I opened the door.
Jesus loves Frank. Nobody else. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, really, we don't have to talk about this too long, but, like, really quick, like, so how are you guys feeling about Kate this episode?
I wrote Kate's motivation was the first thing I scribbled on my angry little post-it note that I wrote all my notes on.
I know that Kate wants to get the heck away from David.
Which, I mean, I know they've, like, kind of teased, like, with the weird sexual tension dishwashing flashback, that, like, she has issues with David. But it's, like, they haven't been, like, keeping up that whole, like, that, like, she's had that, like, a really bad relationship with David. Like, they haven't been keeping that storyline going. And so to have her be, like, even though this is a place where I'm getting medical attention, you know, they let me in free, you know, free pass. And this is technically my husband who I thought was dead. Who we were gonna wait? We waited 3 months in a house for him. You know, it's like, it's like to have her just be like, "I gotta get away from him," and then like,
well, he also is kind of being a little bit pushy.
Well, yes, but just her just motivations of like, I don't care, we gotta get out of here. But then to have to make the decision to stay, like if you choose not to like escape with her, if you're like. Yeah. I'm gonna stay. Yeah. She pulls a whole Jesus on you, and she's like, "I hate you." Yeah. And then it's like you have to tell Gabe, "Oh, she's not angry at you. She's angry at me."
Yeah.
And it's like, what? It's like,
yeah.
The whole Kate thing in this whole season has just annoys me so much. It's just like my from episode one, my responses to her have been like, you know, not in a relationship way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm not interested. Okay.
Yeah.
Big hands up, not interested. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and this game just keeps pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. And it's like, I don't want to.
whereas with me, you know, I decided to like go for the Kate route. Cause I was like romantic, mm-hmm. You know, I'm a hopeless romantic kind of thing, you know, and like I was pushing for all that, but then what aggravated me is how many times Trip or Jesus or somebody else like brought up in this episode, wait a second, I saw you kissing Kate.
Yeah.
I thought you were together. Eleanor. And it's like,
yeah.
And it's like, hey, I thought the brother was dead 3 years ago. It's like, what's with all this judgment in the post-apocalypse?
Yeah, for sure.
What,
for sure.
What
Yeah, no, and that's something that I have a problem because, like, again, like I haven't pursued Kate this entire game. But like Frank was saying, like the game keeps throwing it at you because that's what I mean, you think that's what the game wants, but it seems like even with what Jonathan's saying, like it doesn't even satisfy it if you want that to happen, like if you want them to have a relationship, like it just makes it seem like that, oh, you have a choice, because it seems like every moment like that you have a choice of like, do you reciprocate or do you not reciprocate, you know, do you hug her back and comfort her or do you tell her you should really get going? And so it makes you think you have a choice with that, when in the end, it's just going to keep badgering you until you just are like, you know, until you supposedly are just like, oh, I'm just going to kiss her. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's
really.
Yeah, so
for a game that supposedly remembers your decisions, it's not remembering my decisions.
And then plus, not even with that, but like I also, and I asked Madeline's opinion on this since she wasn't gonna be here tonight, but like I also like I feel, and I think this just goes along with the bad character writing in this entire season, is that the game is trying to make you feel like, oh, like I think it's trying to make you feel, at least as far as I can tell, is that Kate is not really the battered wife, you know, because I mean, there's no game evidence that she's been beaten by David, right, or abused by David, other than maybe verbally just by his anger issues. But there's, you know, but it makes you think, oh, well, this is the person, like, you know, she was in this, you know, relationship where she felt, you know, like emotionally abused or, you know, verbally abused. And so she's wanting to get, you know, she, like before everything even happened, she was wanting to get away with, you know, from all that with Javi. But like, with how she acts outside of all of that, like, she doesn't seem like that type of person. Like, she seems like that she, like, even amidst everything that she's been through, like, since thinking he was dead, she still is just lying there, not saying anything to him as he's like, you know, as her husband, I mean, granted, right, is like, you know, being physical with her, and she obviously doesn't like it, you know, but she doesn't say anything. And I'm like, I don't, to me at least, it doesn't fit with her character. And, but it, the game wants you to think that about her. But yet, I, and so then I'm just like, well, why doesn't she stand up for herself? But then I feel bad for thinking, why doesn't she stand up for herself? Because then, you know, it's like, oh, well, she's the battered woman, you know, like, but well, I don't know. I guess what I'm getting at is the game makes you think that you should feel sorry for her, but yet bad character writing makes me feel very, like, apathetic towards her completely.
It seems like it could be, I guess, hinted somewhat that she might have been hurt physically by David because of the fact that David goes and, like, punches your face when you show up late to...
I don't think that's necessarily... That's, I mean, yeah, that, he's abusive. I mean, like, you know, that's just his temper. But it never... Yeah. Other than, like, the only physical thing... Or the only thing that I think the game has shown, actually, is... when she broke the mug, she was afraid to tell him.
Right.
And when he came into the room and saw the broken mug, he blamed her immediately and started yelling, which more points to verbal abuse. Sure, I can see that happening, but it's never shown us that he was indeed physically abusive, which doesn't matter because verbal abuse can be just as traumatic as physical.
True.
Yeah. But it just bothers me that, like, it's trying to make us feel sorry for her, but I'm just like, I kind of feel bad that I can't. And, like, you know, I asked Madeline, and Madeline, you know, kind of agreed. She was like, I just think it's just bad character writing that we just can't, we can't get a feel for her.
Can't get a grip on it.
And what I found funny was when he comes back into the room after she's, you know, she fakes having pain, he's like, oh, kind of suspicious how it just kind of comes and goes like that.
Oh yeah.
And you have the option to say, like, you would say that or something. I didn't end up choosing that, but, like, Javi gets to be the only character that's somewhat like, you were gone out of our life for 4 years, and you think you can just waltz right back on in and play everything and back like it was supposed was before.
He never even, like, tried to get back to the house. It's like, he was like, oh, we got locked into the interstate. And then, you know, then mom turned into a zombie.
Mom changed. And then I didn't think to come back because
I hooked up with my old army buddies and went to DC. Like, that was his story. It was like, it was like, you didn't even, like, make an attempt to go find your kids and wife. Like, that didn't make any sense. Like I thought, because the whole thing about in the flashback was you told Gabe what to write in the note kind of thing. That was one of the quote-unquote choices. You know, and it's like, it could have been so much better if, like, he's like, well, I did go to the house, I found the note.
I found the note, yeah.
Or the house burned down because someone left candles lit. You know, it's like...
Right, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen when you left the note, that eventually David would go back there, and depending on what you put on the note would cause a reaction.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like a wasted opportunity there.
No, choices don't matter.
if we've learned anything from this season, it just doesn't matter.
So going Walking to your last... Dead.
Whose going line through, is it anyways?
Going to your last important decision, it's whether you decide to stick with David's plan of taking Gabe and Kate to his house, which to me, like, that's like the first place people are going to look in the town if they're looking for you. But anyways, so to take Gabe and Kate to his house in Richmond, David's house, or, you know, and then go with David to, like, Javi will go with David to approach the leaders, the other leaders. Or... to go with Kate's plan, because Kate is like, hey, we can run away together. Still, you know, promise me you'll never leave me. Let's leave together.
You were gonna take Javi, or not Javi. You were gonna take Gabe with you.
No, they don't.
No, you were going to until Gabe was like, no.
Well, do you blame him for anyways? So you can either choose to follow Kate's plan and try and leave with Kate, or and leave David hanging with the leaders, or you can go with David's plan. What did you guys choose?
I chose to leave with Kate because I know what ends up happening, because I've looked up the consequences of your decisions. But yeah.
Well, what little our choices mattered, you just looked it up and it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it was one of the more significant choices. And actually, yeah, probably
it does actually have a role in the next episode.
So
yeah, the flashback.
So Kevin, for those listening, what happened when you decided to leave with Kate?
Oh, we're walking along, and then all of a sudden, we get accosted by some sunglass wearing Richmond guards.
Yeah, guards too.
And I choose to go and, like, fight them. I don't know if I think I might hit one of them with a bat or try to. No, I don't. You end up like pushing away their gun or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they go and take you away to David, to David and the other people, while Kate goes and escapes.
Oh, fun time.
Go ahead. Well, all right.
You go ahead.
Okay. No, you go. No, you ought to go. Okay.
Okay. Go.
I chose to stick with the plan, even though, like I said, in the back of my head, I thought it was a trap. Just from the fact that if there was any chance of maybe redeeming Richmond and getting Joan out of the picture, this was the only way to do it.
Yeah.
I probably knew I was walking into a trap, which I wasn't surprised to find out. Ava's a weird character. She's sort of a 50-50. Mm-hmm. At this point, you don't really know. And I would be surprised if David and Ava had a little, soiree in their years of of surviving the wilderness. So,
yeah.
And then, of course, the meeting goes to hell anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you go back to the meeting. You're knocked unconscious. Things get dicey. But even though, like, yes, maybe the plan was to take Gabe with you, it almost seemed like, maybe they just thought that would be like just something you would do, but like that was never mentioned when Kate was talking to you. Kate was like, let's, you know, the two of us get away together. And like Gabe was never really mentioned in the equation at all.
Right.
Which bothered me, which is why, I mean, also I didn't want to run away with Kate because I, anyways, but you know, that bothered me because I was like, well, I don't want to leave just Gabe here. I don't want to have just run away. And like, so Gabe is just seeing me like run away from the situation. Just because you want to leave Kate, I'm sorry. But like, but even knowing that, like, okay, so like you try and take Gabe with you and Gabe says, no, well, of course, like, what do you expect him to do? You know, like he's, and that's one thing, like another thing like that Madeline mentioned is that like, is he even, I mean, is he old enough to make that decision? Like, is he like even, you know, because of course he's going to choose his father over his uncle and his stepmom. You know, right. Because A, he thought his father has been dead for all this time. B, it's his actual, one of his actual parents. You know, and to Gabe, like David hasn't done anything wrong because, you know, they've sheltered Gabe from knowing anything.
I chose to go with the plan in, but it was like, I was upset that like Kate got like so mad. Cause I'm like, we're just going to go like go to David's house. And then like, once so like figure out what's going on, then we're all going to leave.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's like, but I was thinking more of along the lines. I'm like, well, one, remember Kate, you've been shot and you were dying not 3 hours ago. You know, it's like,
right.
And then it's also like if we leave now, it's like David's not our enemy right now. We hope. It's like, but if I run off you right now, he's going to go complete crazy.
Ballistic. Yeah, you know? That totally blows it all up. Yeah.
Going to turn Gabe against you.
And Richmond.
Yeah, and it's Richmond. Like, it's like, I'm sorry, even if we are madly in love, that's just stupid. Because you're probably going to die from it. you're probably going to die from an infection from your gunshot wound anyways. Because
I don't know. It might seem harsh, but I think, the only thing I think Kate is only thinking about Kate. Kate just wants to get away from David, and that's her singular motivation. No, I mean,
honestly, like even, I mean, she doesn't even think about like
Gabe or
asking, I mean, like, and Madeline mentioned, like asking to like step in for her. Like she's always asking Javi to take her battles for her and to fight her battles for her. She never thought about, I mean, maybe at certain points, but at least from what we've seen, at least in this episode, she didn't really consider Gabe all that much, like in really anything. Yeah. I feel so sorry. I feel Gabe actually, because like, you know, he has this like father who's kind of like possibly crappy, or maybe he's, you know, maybe he'll turn out to be better. I don't know. You know, and then like I just feel that like Javi is like that one thing that is like, you know, that has been constant for him and that has cared, you know, I mean, if you play it that way, I guess, has cared for him and has watched after him the past few years. But, you know, I just didn't feel okay with being like, yeah, I don't, you know, sure.
This whole thing. Also, you know, you're talking about how it's like, you know, we're going to go to David's house and how you're talking about, like, that would be the first place anyone would look for David. Yes. Also, what was, like, the point of the fact that David's house was, like, the Edgar Allan Poe house?
I know.
And, like, they very clearly, like,
I know.
Like, it was, like, everywhere. It was, like, Edgar Allan Poe. There's a raven on the doorpost. There's, like, it was, like,
I noticed that.
What was the, was that just to be like an Easter egg? Be like, hey, I looked up the Wikipedia page for Richmond. We did research.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe next week we can all do our homework this week and like look up Edgar Allan Poe and see like what that has to do with anything with David. And we would probably all come away disappointed of being like, it has nothing to do with anything.
I didn't make it to David's house. I don't really know what you guys are talking
about. Oh, yeah. Well, at
David's house is at...
Go ahead, Jonathan.
David's house is like supposed to be like Edgar Allan Poe's house. Like, apparently that's in Richmond. And like, there's like a historical plaque outside that says Edgar Allan Poe. There's a raven on the doorpost. Like, they even do like a slow panning shot of the raven doorpost.
Yeah.
Like, they make it very clear. Hey, David's house is Edgar Allan Poe's house.
Yeah. It's like, why?
And, cool.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, I honestly think that it was like an Easter egg because it's like, well, it's set in Richmond. Let's Google Richmond landmarks, you know? And then like, it just, I don't know. Yeah. It has nothing to do with the story. It just irritated me like that out of all the things they could have spent time on, they spent time on the Edgar Allan Poe house and the chocolate cake and spinach dip.
Did it look like that?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Cause that's Edgar Allan Poe's comic.
Well, this was clearly supposed to be something Edgar Allan Poe, which is in
Richmond. Yeah, it looked like a townhome.
They were making it to look exactly like the house that is actually there.
The Edgar Allan Poe Museum is in Richmond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was buried in Philadelphia. I know that because, yeah. But anyway, we'll talk about that.
So that's
not
even creepier. He's
places to visit Edgar Allan Poe. Yes.
Yeah, he's living in. He's living in the Edgar Allan Poe Museum.
Yes, he is.
Who does that?
Okay, so is there anything really quick that we didn't cover the up since we're running?
The Joan confrontation, because some people had
well, basically you go to the meeting and you lay it all out Max. To the other two idiots, and Max pretty much confesses to being the henchman for Joan.
Yeah.
And she pretty much flat out admits it.
Yeah.
And the two other idiots are like, oh, well, okay. It's like, these guys are useless.
The doctor.
Yeah.
The doctor's like, we got to sleep on it.
For me, since I didn't have Max, we were like arguing, and what's his name?
Lonnie.
Not Leland.
Lonnie.
Lonnie's like, I'm gonna be honest. David's been telling us to do this the whole time, and it's not Joan at all. And then,
what?
And then you can try to plead with him, and say like, dude, tell the freaking truth, or like get angry at him and say that it's bullcrap or whatever, and then you argue with it, and Joan's like, what do you mean I've been doing this? I care about our community.
It's so poorly written.
And then
written.
The doctor's like, I think we should sleep on this decision, which makes a lot more sense to do. Because then it's like, I don't really know what's going on. And then David's like, you know what? You guys all suck. And then he goes and like punches Lonnie to the ground.
Yeah, good.
And
day.
Then shoots at someone.
Yeah, and then someone, which you can't tell, but someone knocks Javi to the ground and someone gets shot. And that's where it cuts.
Yeah.
But it's like you don't see who knocked Javi to the ground or who got shot.
Yeah.
But like, that's another thing that made me irritated, because like, if it was just written different, if the actors were directed differently in their like deliveries.
Yeah.
Like when Lonnie goes, I have to tell the truth. I'm not going to lie anymore. It was all David's idea. It's like, that could have been a huge like moment to play off of. Mm-hmm. Of like, wait, is David playing me, kind of thing. But it's like, no, one, all your dialogue options don't give you the choice to even consider it was David.
Right.
Also, Joan is just completely like turned evil Disney villain at this point, going, where, David, whatever did you do?
Yeah.
It's like,
Disney villain or like James Bond.
Yeah, and then Spinach Guy is just over there going, you got some splaining to do, David.
The only thing that throws a wrench into that is the whole conversation in the garage where what's his name? Not Badger, the other guy.
Max
pretty much says when they're listening to their conversation that it's Joan that's directing the raids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, the way he said that
throws that all out of all out the window. It's like,
well, you know. I didn't end up hearing much of the conversation. I ended up making the decision to hit them really quickly, and you also ended up having really muffled sound when they were like approaching them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he said Joan's on a warpath, which now, like in the context they were writing it, is like she's on a warpath in taking over all the other settlements. Like, I think that's what you're supposed to get at. But in listening to it, in my head, it was like there was political strife between the four leaders.
Yeah.
And Joan's out to get one of them.
Yeah.
And so, like, in my head, I was thinking, because in my head, like I said, making it Joan, I'm like, that would be too easy in my head. That's like the cliche. And so I was still thinking of a Spinach Guy. And I was thinking, like, they're doing this on Spinach Guy's orders because Joan's on a warpath to take control.
Yeah.
And it's like, and we saw with the whole spinach cake debate that they disagree, you know? Yeah.
But what I find stupid is, no, those things can't even compare. That's like apples and, like, apples
I don't know.
And, like some inedible object. Apples and a lamp.
I don't know. Have you guys ever had spinach artichoke dip? It's delicious. If it's made well, it is amazing. It depends on the mood. Am I in a cake mood or spinach artichoke?
I'll take your word on it.
Do I want an appetizer or dip
instead of appetizer, and then you eat the cake. Like, it's not that hard. Anyways, we should probably wrap up.
Yes. On that note.
But next week we'll talk about episode 4. That'll be next Tuesday, and then our month chat for this month. Don't forget about it, guys. I still need to start playing it. Dreamfall the Longest Journey, or The Longest Journey Dreamfall. Either way, that's our month chat for the month of October. We'll be having that conversation on November the 6th. But it's all Walking Dead up until then. So guys, again, thank you for being here, for chatting with me. For those listening, thank you for listening. And you can find us at thegamechat.net. You can find us on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. You can find our recordings. We're also on Twitter and Instagram, which I don't keep up. So, but at thegamechat, Facebook, Discord. Anyways, so until next week, guys, have a great week. I'll chat you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.